are very thankful this evening to have each and every person on the call, especially those who may not be members of the Church of Christ. We welcome you to our afternoon services this evening. We pray you got your Bible and you open your Bible up and follow along with us. We'll be in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 3. If you have not obeyed the gospel, you need to do that before it's everlasting, eternally too late. By being obedient to that gospel, that story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, who suffered, bled, and died on Calvary, shed his blood, and washed his sins away in baptism. Same blood purchased his church, his bride, the Church of Christ, the only one you ever read about in the Bible. But the members of the church who may be joining us from other congregations, you too are welcome to this afternoon service. Let's jump right into it. Hebrews chapter number 3. We completed the study of chapter 2 this morning. Chapter 1, we're learning by everything was done by his son. He was God. And this morning we talked about how we're going to escape. If we don't do it the way Jesus said, there's no escape route to save your precious soul. And this evening, partakers of the heavenly calling. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Wherefore, my brother, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle, high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, these are those who are going to heaven. Holy brethren will go to heaven. Those who are partakers of the heavenly calling, called by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 14. When we carry the gospel message to the world, the message of Jesus hanging on the cross, calling out to us, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. When one responds to the gospel story, as Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is preached to the lost and dying world, people will respond in love. Answering that gospel call to be born again, a regenerated an heir of God, and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. When you get baptized and obey the truth, you've answered the gospel call. Then, and only then, are you a partaker. Or your holy brother that can be a partaker of the heavenly calling. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to do. I want to be a partaker of this heavenly calling. Consider Christ, the Hebrew writer says. Christ, who is the apostle and high priest of our profession. Apostle is one that's sent. Jesus was sent as well. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So his son came to do his own will. A profession is an open declaration, public avowal, acknowledgement, profession. Some say confession. Some versions say this is confession. Now, so Christ is the apostle. He's our apostle, high priest. To those who have professed through their life, we profess him through our life, and we confess him, with our mouth, saying that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. That's what Peter said in Matthew 16:16. He answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So for us to be saved, we must confess, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Christ, according to Hebrew writing, he's the apostle and the high priest. To those who have been born again of water and of the Spirit, only those people are holy brethren and can be partakers of this heavenly calling. I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven. My question is, are you a holy brother? If you're only a holy brother, if you have obeyed the gospel, been born of the water and the Spirit, and a member of the one true church, and that is the Church of Christ. You say, why is that, brother? Because only the saved are in the one church. Acts 2 and verse 47, and the Lord then adds to the church daily, such as should be saved. Now, I don't say that to be mean. I just say that's all the Bible says, that the saved are in the church. It says there are but one church. And so if you're a holy brother, then you are brother or sister, then you will be a partaker of the heavenly calling. But if you're not, there is no participant in heaven, no participation in heaven. You cannot partake of anything going on in heaven if you're not a holy brother. If you haven't been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that makes you holy. When you've been born of the water of the Spirit, that makes you a holy brother. And then you must live the life of a brother. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3 again, start there, verse 1, so I can point out some more details here. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, he wants us to consider him. Who? Christ Jesus, the apostle and high priest. Who was faithful to him that appointed him? Talking about Jesus was faithful to God who appointed him, and also Moses was faithful in all his house. So he does a comparison that Moses was faithful. God sent him to take care of Israel. Jesus came faithful to his Father to take care of sins of the world. Christ was faithful to God the Father. John, for God sent not his Son, sent. Notice this, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent as the apostle, part of it, not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So here he is. Christ was faithful to his Father. He carried out the Father's will, and as the Father's will, that he would die for the sins of the world. Just like Moses, under the Old Testament law, was faithful to the house of Israel, and that God the Father appointed him over the house of Israel. He became the spokesman, the Christ type. Moses was a Christ type in the Old Testament, delivering the children of Israel to the land of promise. Hebrews 3:3, come back more on Moses. Verse 3, for this man, talking about Christ, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. He's doing that comparison again, Moses and Christ. Inasmuch as he who had built the house had more honor than the house. This man, Christ, he's talking about, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Now, Moses was a great leader. Moses delivered the children of Israel from the land, from Egyptian bondage. He gave the law, the Ten Commandments, came down on Mount Sinai with them. He led God's people through the Red Sea and to the Jordan. But he's saying now Christ is more worthy of more glory than Moses. Just like the one who built a house has more honor than the house he built. So he's saying this is comparison here to Moses. Jesus was doing this. Well, everything he done was so that we could be partakers of the heavenly calling. Without Christ, we couldn't make it to heaven. And listen carefully. Here's how you know it starts to describe it. Verse 4. Every house is built by some man, but he that buildeth all things is God. Yes, every house has a builder, but the builder of all things is God. He's the creator. The builder of the earth is God. The builder of the sky is God. The builder of the moon is God. The builder of mankind is God. God is the great architect of the world and the fullness thereof, all things in it. And Moses, verily, was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things were to be spoken after. See, now, he's saying that Moses was faithful. Notice how Moses was faithful. Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things were to be spoken after. Now, Moses didn't own the house. He was a servant in the house. Now, look at this. He was not the builder. Moses was faithful as a servant, not the builder. Verse 5, 6 says, but Christ, now he's comparing it. Here's the difference between why one is more worthy than the other. Christ, as a son, notice this, over his own house. Notice the ownership there. He owns the house. So that goes back to what he said earlier. The man who is, he says, the one who built a house has more honor than the house he built. Has more honor than the house he built. That's what he said in verse number 3. Now here's the owner of the house right here. Christ as a son over his own house. And then he tells us who the house is. Whose house are we? So the Hebrew writer is writing to Hebrew Christians who are partakers of the heavenly promise, the heavenly calling. They're going to be able to go to house. That house will go to heaven. Whose house are we? Now, look at the comma there and the if. Conditional. If we hold fast. A fast is like a nail. With nail, they call it a fastener. You hit a nail and nail it down to fasten it. We got to hold fast the confidence and the rejoice of the hope firm unto the end. See, Christ, as we learned this morning, was the captain of our salvation. See, he was faithful, a son over his own house. It belonged to him. What is his house? What does he own? What is it that Jesus owns? Well, Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to obey thyself, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. The church is the house that Jesus owns. If any man suffer, 1 Peter 4:16, the Bible says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this day. 1 Peter 4:16, and then 17, 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. So that was the church. The church is the house of God, and Jesus is the Son who owns the house. So we got that part. He owns the house. He purchased the house with his blood when he died on the cross. He purchased the house. The house is the church of Christ. The church is the house. Whose house are we? Who are the we? The holy brethren, who will be partakers of the heavenly call if they hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. Paul says in Acts 20:27, for I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourself, to all the flock which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So he's the owner of the house. He's the owner of the church. You and I cannot get to heaven unless we're in the house. And the house is the church of Christ. Why is the church of Christ? He's the owner. He's the owner of the house. Holy brethren, partakers of heavenly calling, would be members of the church of Christ if. What do you mean by if? That's what I'm getting to this afternoon. The holy brethren, understand this, that those people must live faithful. Why? The owner says so. This house is purchased with his blood. Yes, Moses was a great servant. He was in the house of Israel. He was in the house, which he was appointed by God to lead, but he didn't own it. And Moses said this in Acts 3:32 is recorded that in Acts 3:22, for Moses truly said unto the Father, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. He said, him shall you hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. It is important that we understand, as I talked about this morning, no escape, no way around it, no way to get to heaven, except through Jesus Christ. That's it. And Moses knew that. He was telling the people that, and the Hebrew writers telling the same thing to them. It behooves us. It's important that each of us on the call this evening who really want to go to heaven understand the seriousness of this conversation here. The one we had this morning, there's no way to get to heaven without going through Christ. That requires obedience through baptism and then obedience in living the life of a Christian. To wear the name Christ, you have to live it and hold fast to that living according to the scripture. Now let's go back to Hebrews 3rd chapter in verse 7. Here's what the Hebrew writer says. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said today, that means right now, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day in the provocation, in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your father tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 4 years. Today, right now, when you listen to the word of God, you're hearing God's voice speak. Each of us are hearing the word of God. When we preach the word, when you hear the word of God, when you read it, the word God is speaking through his word. Specifically, through the teachings of his son that we learned this morning in the New Testament. For us to be saved, it does not tell us in the Old Testament how to be saved. It's Christ gave the commandments. In the New Testament is where you'll find what we must do today to be saved. It's the owner's words. It's called the doctrine of Christ, the teachings of Christ. But notice he says this, harden not your hearts. I want to stay there just for a little bit. And when you've been in the church long enough, you start to learn the different kinds of people and hearts in the house. The heart is simply the mind, the thinker. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When somebody's hard-hearted, their mind is set against the owner's commandments. And you see this, people that's going to rebel. The children of Israel in the Old Testament became hard-hearted, started complaining and murmuring when they was in the wilderness, even after seeing the mighty works of God for 40 years. They still complained and murmured. Yeah. And he's saying to us that just like they did it back then, the Old Testament became, those people became hard-hearted, started complaining and murmuring, even after seeing the mighty works of God. These people saw the Red Sea parted. They walked across on dry land. Yet, when they didn't get their way, they complained and murmured to Moses. They complained and murmured. They rebelled against God's command. They start complaining to Moses in Exodus chapter 17, starting in verse 1, you can read that. He says, and all the congregation of the children is a journey from the wilderness of sin. After they journeyed according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Exodus 17:1. Wherefore the people, verse 2, did chide with Moses, said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? They complained. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people. Take with thee the elders of Israel, thy rod, and with thou smotest the river, take it in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee, there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out of it water that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah, Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, the Lord is the Lord among us. Hear these people. Or in this case, we know the story goes on and on. And Moses got upset at the people. He hit the rock, verdict, speaking on to Moses himself. Didn't get to go to the promised land. So you see, on and on, there's plenty of examples like that throughout the New Testament where these children of Israel, they complained. Now let's bring that to today in verse 10. Listen to God, how serious this matter of the heart, which is more, I want to put more emphasis on the heart, the murmuring person, the complaining person, the person that's in the church, it causes problems with murmuring and complaining. God says, verse 10, the Hebrew writer, Hebrews 3:10, back over there. Wherefore I was grieved. God said he was grieved with that generation. He said, they do also away error in their heart. They have not known my ways. They err in where? In their mind. It was in their heart. They have not known my way. They didn't know what to do to please God. They murmured and complained. It was all about their heart, though. So I swear, this is strong language right here. Now, verse number 11, in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. These people will not be partakers of the heavenly promise. This is where we're at this evening. The people who are going to get to heaven got to work on their hearts. These people, they grieve God. They erred in their minds, their hearts. Many people today in the Lord's church are grieving God with hard hearts. A hard heart is a heart that rejects. The hard heart is to gets to such a state that God's word makes no impression. It cannot penetrate that hard heart. One thing all of us got to know is that there's a lot of thinking going on in your head. You know yourself, but God knows every thought that goes through that wicked mind of yours. How are you saying that, Brother Brooks? Because Jeremiah said it. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the Bible said the heart. Let's go over there and read that. I want y'all to read this because this is something really I think we all got to keep in mind and work on. The way we thinking. Start trying to get our heads together. Because that mind of ours, the Bible refers to it as desperately wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. See that? One verse said the heart is a twisted thing, not to be searched out by man who is able to have knowledge. The heart is deceitful above all things. One verse said, desperately sick. The heart is where the word of God has to go into the minds of people. And brothers and sisters, if we're going to get to heaven, we have to receive with meekness in our mind. Whether hear the word of God and receive it with meekness. That's what James said in James chapter 1. Lay apart all filthiness, 21, and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Here's the advice from the lesson this evening. If you're going to go to heaven, if we are going to go to heaven, the place thing we have to work on is the way we think. And to be doers of God's word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. But James, if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding that face in the glass. It's not doing you any good because you're not doing what it says do. If you're going to be a partaker of the heavenly calling, we got to work on this heart. Many members of the church are grieving God with hard hearts. Hard hearts. The Hebrew writer is going to talk about the heart quite a bit. The heart and the mind, and Jeremiah talking about desperately, that means extremely wicked. If we don't put the word of God in our minds, you all, we ain't got a chance. The Hebrew writer always also tells us in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick, powerful, sharp, and an intuitive sword, piercing even to divide and asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, notice this, is the discerner of the thoughts and intents, notice of what? The heart. Boy, if we, I hope y'all understand what this is. This is talking about when people say, I know the Lord know my heart. You should be careful about that. Talking about the Lord know your heart. It's because your heart is so desperately wicked. It's extremely wicked. The reverse psychology of that is that I know what I'm doing and God know what I'm doing. You're right. But you're dealing with a mind in your head that's extremely wicked. It can cause you to say things and do things. And the Bible says the Word of God will cause critical thinking to take place. That's why when I'm preaching, I know one thing for sure, that the first person I'm talking to is me. Until you let God's word work on your mind and be true, which I always say throughout my ministry, I've said this, keep it real. I mean, it's always easy to point the finger at someone else, but all the other ones pointing back at you. And the word of God is a discerner, the critical, indiscriminate word of God will tell you just what you look like and tell you where your thoughts and intents. Because every time you read God's word, it'll point you out. And everybody on this call, you know, people don't have to be told how wrong you're doing. Most of us know right and wrong by nature and talk these things. So what are you saying? This evening's lesson is about partakers of the heavenly calling. Only those who work on their heart can make it to heaven. And that means you got to let God's word tell you where you're wrong. You got to follow. Watch the consequence. Verse 11. So I swear, given oath, this is given to God, in my wrath, this is extreme anger by God, they shall not enter into my rest. There's no rest. There's no heaven. These people would not rest. Talking about the children of Israel today. And the people who grieve God. Take heed, brethren. So the evil writer come back and bring it to us. So like in the children of Israel, many of them died in the wilderness. If we go back and read all the Old Testament's account, they died. Only a few made it to the promised land. Moses didn't even get to go across. He just got to look. Few made it. And I think sometimes we believe many going to make it. But that's not what Jesus said. Any in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way to lead to destruction. Many will go that way, he said. The straight is the gate, narrow is the way to lead to life. Few there be defined it. What a few. Those who receive God's word with meekness and let it change their lives. Then he chose the Hebrew writer, warns the brethren, the Hebrew Christians. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you. Notice what he says. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Take heed, when the owner speaks, have a heart to believe. We have to believe evil hearts of unbelief. The Hebrew writer calls anyone with unbelief having an evil heart. They depart from the living God. You're not going to God with an evil heart. You're leaving God. You're going away from God. You're parting because of unbelief. That's why even when we talk about to our visitors, if a person says, I don't believe in baptism, that's an evil heart. That means I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the word of God. That's the Bible refers to that, an evil heart of unbelief. And so it's not just the people who are not Christian, not members of the Church of Christ, who have not been baptized, don't believe in one church, don't believe in taking the Lord's Supper or Sunday. They don't believe in doing all that because they don't believe in the Bible. The Bible refers to it as an evil heart. Now remember, the heart is extremely wicked. It's desperately wicked. It has you thinking you're okay. You can go along and listen to people. You listen to anybody, philosophers, people like that. The people out here who don't even refer to the Bible as something they believe in, but they try to give you spiritual guidance. And then you get that stuff all that caught up in your head. That little extremely wicked heart of yours make you think you're all right. You're taking in the wrong information. Trash in. And you put trash in your head, you got a head full of trash. Nonsense. And that's what the world does today in religion. They put a bunch of nonsense in people's head, and the heart receives it because it's already wicked. The heart has to be in tune with God and walking in the light, letting it tell you what to do, and get follow this guidance. Just like we raise up our children, we give them guidance. The Bible gives us guidance, what we must do to get to heaven, to make it home safely. But then the Hebrew writer says to the Christians here, but exhort one another while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. But this is why it's so important that all of us as Christians be here to support one another, to encourage one another. We have to be honest, though. You can't just tell a person what they want to hear. You can't do that. We can't just tell a person because that person can be this. The Bible says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You can be deceived. Sin will deceive you to keep on. You have plenty of time to get it right with God. Take your time. That's not what the Hebrew writer is saying. He said, now is the acceptable time. Now is the acceptable time. The urgency to start letting out the word of God work on our hearts, our minds, is immediate. 2 Corinthians 6:2-3. My gospel here to them along with God's word that blinded the minds of them, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. Don't be deceived to believe that we can live any kind of way and tomorrow is promised. You got to live today knowing, man, I can go out today. Live today, every day as if it could be, you know, it could be your last, and you work on everything you can in your heart. So, Brother Brooks, I'm not Jesus. We never called you Jesus. No one ever called. No, that's not another Jesus. We already know that. That's a cop-out. We know you're not Jesus. You're a man or a woman who can change if you want to. There's some things in your life you don't have to keep doing. It's a decision. It's a mind thing. If you want to do it and you want to keep doing it, you're going to do it. They call that hard-headed people. Hard-headed people going to do whatever they want to do the way they want to do it. There are many of those in the church. You say that, brother, I've been in church a long time, 30-something, 36 years. There's hard-headed people in church. Are you one? That's the question. Are you a hard-headed Christian? Because you can't get to heaven. Now, you can't be a partaker of the heavenly promise. You cannot go to heaven being hard-headed, hard-headed, just be hard. You know, the word of God don't penetrate your heart. You're going to keep being messy. You're going to keep being a troublemaker. You're going to keep on gossiping. You're going to keep on backbiting. You're going to keep on whispering. I'm hitting these things because these are the kind of things today that I see in the church that many people just do as if nothing to it. There's nothing to it. Somebody runs you. Well, you know, Brother Brooks so-and-so told me this. Well, did you tell him that? Why are you bringing that gossip to me? Why are you whispering to me about what somebody else done and said, you're supposed to go to that person. That's what you're supposed to do. He said, brother, you are spiritual leader. I'm a brother like Christ said this morning. I'm a brother in Christ. He said, if you have an ought against your brother, you go to him. You don't come to me. You go to him. Then if he don't hear you, then you come bring me with you. Same thing applies to you. You coming at me, you come to me one-on-one. Don't go tell everybody else behind my back. There's people doing stuff like that. And not just me. This is just something I've experienced over here. Not necessarily something going on in the immediate term. I'm just talking about how what I've seen and experienced with you. And y'all know that's true. You know I'm just as well as I do. Somebody on the call probably done that today. When somebody, you know, someone, brother so-and-so said this or that. Well, who said it? And did you tell them that? Are you so worried about somebody else's soul, but you ain't went to them? You haven't gone to that person? Maybe your heart is deceived. You believe you can go and tell somebody else to go tell them, run and carry the bone. Nothing worse than a person who carries a bone. Go to the brother or sister and tell them yourself. And sitting back and watch and see what they're going to say after somebody else told them. That's not right, y'all. Here's where we are. What are you doing, brother? I'm dealing with the heart. I'm dealing with the things that we think are okay that we can just do and get away with when it really is just a sick heart. It's sick. That's what's going on here. We start looking at the Bible in Romans chapter 1. Listen to the Bible in verse 28. Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, gave them over to a reprobate mind, that is, to do the things which are convenient. Listen to the list of things he's talking about. Being filled with all unrighteousness, in verse 29, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. People are malicious in their act. They make a move to try to do something to get an outcome they want. Full of envy. Don't like it because you got something they got. Murder. That's wrong. Debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Man, you see groups always whisperers. Do y'all know we cannot, no one can get to heaven as a whisperer. Backbiters. Talking behind somebody's back. This is commonly done among the church. It doesn't surprise me that the Lord said only a few people, because these things are common. Backbiters. Get on the phone and call somebody else and talk about them to somebody else behind their back. Haters of God. Despiteful. Proud. So proud you won't make a confession. Too proud to say you're wrong. Too proud to say I'm sorry. inventors of evil things, disobedient parents, right down to children, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Listen to verse 32 now. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Go along with it. There are some people who will go along with other people, talking about other people, and you go along, yeah, I believe the same way. You wrong as that other person is. You mean, what's the message this evening? You and me and no one else can get to heaven by being these kind of people and participating in these things. It's something going on in your head. It's a person who's hard-hearted. If you own the car and you receive, and you're doing this kind of stuff, and if you're receiving God's word, you'll stop it. And you start telling people, just like I do. I said, now, did you tell him that? We'll go back to it. Everybody need to know that, my brother. You come to me first, I'm seeing you right back to him. Because I'm not going to get caught in your trap. You caught up in that passing it on stuff, gossiping and backbite. I don't have to be caught up in it. I can send you back and tell you you were wrong for coming to me first. Unless you came for some advice. If you came for me for some advice, so what should I do? I said, here's what you do. Here's what Jesus said. Do go to him one-on-one. That's advice. Now, you can come to me for advice, but you can't come to me to carry the ball back to him for you. I'm not going to participate in that evil act. It's wrong. Now, Hebrew writer is teaching them that we got to exhort each other, but because we could get caught up in all this stuff. You can be hardened through the deceitfulness, and you're okay doing these things I just listed. You can't. You'll be deceived. For we are partakers of Christ. Go back to Hebrews 3 now. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Conditional. If we hold, we are made partakers of Christ. If we do. If we don't hold on our confidence steadfast to the end, our confidence begins with Christ when we obey the gospel. And we have to stay with Christ like we talked about this morning. Everything the Lord told us to do in the New Testament, we have to do it. We're confident that Jesus gave us the right answer, or we could fall. We will fall. I know many members of the congregation, many members of the Church of Christ fall. Have you fallen? Well, here's the thing about it. And we're going to see more of this in Hebrews. That, man, there's no more sacrifice for sin. Jesus is not coming to die for us again. This knocks out once saved, always saved. No partakers of heavenly calling can get to heaven if they don't do what the Lord says to do. This is why we must be faithful. That we may exhort and encourage others in the house to be faithful. Nobody's perfect. We get that point. Don't use it for a cop-out. But you can make your decision to, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'll stop and I'll do it again. I'll do it right. Now, while it is said, Hebrew writes, the last two verses, three verses, four verses for the evening. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. So for some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all, came out of Egypt by Moses. Not everyone who came out of Egypt when Moses was disobedient. Here's the question. Who was it that grieved God? Who did he swear would not enter in the promised land of rest? Listen to it, here's verse 17. But with whom he grieved 40 years, was it not with them, here it is, that sin whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Here's the answer. No one who continues to live in sin can be a partaker of the heavenly calling. You are not going to be a holy brother. Why? Sin separates us from God. In verse 18, he said, to whom swore that they should not enter to his rest. Rest means when you make it to the heaven. That's the rest we're talking about. But to them that believe, now here's the answer. The people who didn't get to heaven were those who didn't believe. So we see, verse 16, 19, they could not enter in because of unbelief. If we're going to be a partaker of the heavenly calling, we have to believe as much in living faithful as we did in baptism. There's no one save, always save. So this is the Christians who are trying to grow. If you're growing, if you want to grow and get to heaven, you got to be baptized, and you got to live like the Christ in it. You got to believe in Christian living. You got to believe that you can't get to heaven if you're living in sin. You got to believe in repentance. You got to believe in confession. You got to believe to confess your fault. You got to believe in getting it right. You got to believe that one sin is just as bad as another sin. Don't get deceived. You stay in the light as he's in the light and fellowship with God. That blood will keep you clean because your heart is wicked. It's desperately wicked. It's the heart, the mind. If you don't put the word of God in it, you're going to fall. That's what we're saying. You're going to fall. But maybe it's because you don't believe. See, if you don't believe what I'm saying, like, well, Brother Bush, he's off on a rant today. Am I? Or is that you don't like what I just said? Am I right? Or is that what's going on here in the Hebrew letter? Well, these people was out there fussing and fighting and murmuring against God. Moses out there, they wanted water, and Moses got all upset and hit the rock. Go over there and read those stories. What happened? Well, the Hebrew writer says it was unbelief. I don't believe God who he is. We don't believe we can be lost. We don't believe there's a heaven to win and hell to miss. Do we believe this? If we believe it, then we start trying to make change. Now, you ain't upset at what I said. You know, Reverend, I'm going to call Reverend and tell you to talk about me. No, that's your mind. I done hit your head. That's what done happened. That's what done happened. I done come into your head. And your conscience is bothering you because you're one of them people backbiting, gossiping, and whispering. And you need to stop. Don't get upset at me. Just repent. Be a believer in the word and stop doing it. Start going to people when you got a problem with them, one-on-one. That's what you do. And so here we are. The Hebrew writer is very, he said, man, these people grieve God. They were murmuring backbiting. They were doing all kinds of stuff out there in that wilderness. They ain't going to make it, y'all. These are going to be some tough lessons in the book of Hebrew. They are. There's some harder ones coming in this one. Because we have to work. And next week on chapter 4, we're going to start getting, we're going to deal more with this old heart we're dealing with. This mind thing that we all got going, including myself. Man, you got to put God's word in it to get this thing fixed. Or you will miss heaven on it. But God gave us his word. And it's a lamp unto our feet. And a light to up. The good thing about the Bible is that it shows the good and the bad, such as men like David, the doge of murder and all that. Yet they were men after God's own heart. It showed them that he could do it. David was told God to create him a clean heart. He wanted to change. You have to want to change. And if you want it bad enough, and you really want to get to heaven, and you love God, and these things I talk about, even if they affect your conscience, it may bother you, but if you're trying to get to heaven, you know, say, no, the red books, right? I don't have to do that. That's what you would say. Now, so if you're on the call today and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, the house he's talking about is the Church of Christ. Now, the question is, do you believe? Do you believe? Have you received the Word of God with meekness? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Word came from Jesus? If you do, here's what Jesus told me to tell you. He tell us through his Word what to do. He tell us what to preach. He said, go up Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world, preach the gospel, every creature, he that believeth and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. What's the gospel? Death, burial, and resurrection of the suffering saved. You must believe that with all of your heart after you hear it. How you suffer for you. Must believe it, must repent. Say, I gotta change. I can't live like this. I gotta be saved. Yes, you do. Be willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, is the Son of God, then profess him through your living, the way you live. Say, they said, surely you are a Christian. After that, you got to be baptized. After you make the confession with your mouth, then you get baptized, then you live the profession that comes after baptism. Profession comes after baptism. You can profess it through the life you live. Now, if you're on the call today, you want to be baptized, you can. We'll do everything we can because all of us in the house trying to get to heaven. We want to be partakers of the heavenly calling. If you're on the call today, you are a Christian. And you're a Christian at another congregation, no matter where you are, you're in the kingdom. It doesn't matter as long as you're in the church. You need to make a confession. You can do that this evening. If you need to be baptized, you can do that this evening. If you just need prayer, we want to pray with you. Understand this. God has given us his word for the purpose of instruction. All scripture given by the inspiration of God for instruction in righteousness. That's what it's for. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. That's what we're supposed to do with the word of God. It ain't always be that you hear the word of God. It's going to make you want to shout. The word of God is intended to change your thinking. So you receive with meekness in your mind, you can be a better Christian. So with that being said, we're going to turn it over to our song leader. You're going to give them a song encouragement. You hit 5-star on your phone. If you have a prayer request, desire to be baptized, prayer request, or confession. Hope you enjoy the lesson. Partakers of the heavenly calling will be holy brothers who live the way God told them to live.